This is the last in the series on stewardship, and for those of you who have already sent in your stewardship response in terms of your pledge card or whatever, thank you so much for that. For those of you who maybe haven't received one, as you head out through the narthex today, there are stewardship cards for you. Please pick that up and consider sending that in. And you also notice in your bulletin today there is an insert. I'll be finishing up the third section of that today as well. And today is the money talk, but I think we'll have some fun with this. At least I'm going to, so it'll be good. So let me start you out with a good story here. A man had suffered a very serious heart attack and ended up in the care of nuns at a Catholic hospital. He awakened from the surgery and found himself there, and as he was recovering, a nun asked him some questions regarding how he was going to pay for the care that he was receiving. She asked if he had any health insurance, and he replied in a raspy voice, "No, I don't." The nun then asked him if he had any money in the bank. He replied, "No money in the bank." The nun asked him if he had a relative who could help him out pay for his treatment. He said he only had a spinster sister who happened to be a nun. Yeah. The nun became very agitated at that comment and announced loudly, "Nuns are not spinsters, that they are married to God." And the patient replied, "Send the bill to my brother-in-law." What a jerk. What a jerk, you know, really. But that is a good one, yeah. Yeah, I tell you what. So many people have different relationships with money. And you can only hope that you don't run across this guy in your lifetime, right? Although some of us have, right? Guy or gal who had just that kind of relationship with money where it was always difficult. It was always a challenge and things like that. But today we read in our Old Testament lesson from Malachi the truth that the people of Israel, as they weren't being faithful in their tithe to God, were hurting their relationship with him. And it's interesting, the prophet talks about it in some very stark language, not very pastoral, not very comforting, very hard words to hear. And basically what the prophet in Malachi is saying, as you'll see in your insert there, is that the reality is the people of Israel, in not being faithful in their tithe to God, were robbing God. They were stealing from God. Now, who in a million years would ever think that in not giving your tithe to God, not being faithful in your giving to God, that you were robbing God? For one, I'll be honest with you, even as a priest, I never even would think of such a thing until I read this text a number of years ago, of course. But I believe what you and I need to come home to is that the prophet was speaking God's word to us. And that as God has been faithful to the people of Israel, and as God has been faithful to you and me in providing with us and for us every material thing that we could possibly need, and most importantly, the gift of our life, I mean, we would affirm as believers, as Christians, that even our next breath is a gift from God, right? I mean, I've been with people, I know you have too, where one moment they're there, and the next moment they're gone, like that. They don't get to the Catholic hospital in time. They're gone. And so we realize that life, our next breath, is a tremendous gift from God. And in the material realm, the tithe is simply an affirmation that everything that we have is a gift from God. You know, if you were to count out 10 $1 bills, and out of that stack of 10 $1 bills, if you were to take $1 bill out and put it in the plate, that would technically be the tithe. That's 10%. And yet, how difficult that is for so many people over time to be able to do that. And again, what we're encouraged by the prophet in Malachi, what he says to us, and God is speaking through him, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse or into the church. In that time, it would have been the temple. So that there may be food in my house, talking about God's house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Now, let me talk about another thing about this text that that sometimes I struggle with, and that is the idea that I'm giving to get, right? You know, as I read this text and reflect on it with you, one of the realities is that we give to be a blessing. But what God is saying to us through the prophet is that as you're faithful to me in the tithe, as you give me 10% of your income, I am going to bless you. That's what God is saying. And God is saying to us that he's going to bless us in such a way that it's going to be overwhelming. It's going to be so great that you and I can't even begin to fathom it. And it's going to be such that the blessing will overflow. So a little bit later on tonight, what I'd like you to do is when you're by the kitchen sink, or maybe it's the bathroom sink, you choose, it doesn't matter to me, get yourself a cup. Put it underneath the spigot. And let the spigot run in that cup until it overflows, until it can't contain any more water. That's the blessing that God is talking about in terms of that you and I will have as we're faithful in the tithe to God, that there will be an overflowing blessing. So why is the tithe so important to God? Why does God, and why does Scripture talk about money in so many different places? Well, I believe one of the reasons is that we live in a very material universe. We are material people. You and I as human beings, we need food to eat. We need a place to live. We need clothes to wear. We need our bank accounts. We need money. We need cars. We need all of these things. And the Lord even said while he walked upon the earth, I know that you have need of these things. He knew that. And so the tithe, as you and I tithe, or at least work toward the tithe of 10%, as we give 10% of what we have, what we are saying in doing that action is that we believe everything that we received is a gift from God. You see, as you look at the Jewish literature, if you understand what the Old Testament is really talking about here, and if you hear some rabbis teach on this, what the rabbis say is that the reason why you give 10% is that it's an acknowledgement that all of it belongs to God. The 100%, all that you have, actually belongs to God. It's all God's. But as we give the tithe, as we give 10%, we're acknowledging before God in our offerings and our tithes to the Lord that it all comes from him. It's all from him. And it will all go back to him. And so that's a very important acknowledgement that you and I need to live out in our lives. And you know, I think that's one of the reasons why through the prophet Malachi, God spoke this such a strong word to them and a strong word to us to this day, is that as we're not faithful in our tithe before God, giving of 10% toward him, or at least moving toward that, that in a very real way, we're robbing him. We're taking away from God what belongs to him. Because the truth is, God has a work that he has to do upon this earth through his church, through his son Jesus Christ. But guess how that work gets accomplished? Through us, through the church. Oh, Father Joe, somebody else has a lot of money. They'll give the tithe. You don't have to worry about this. I know this is a rich church and everything's going to be okay. But you see, that's not the point. The point is, are you tithing? That's the point. The point is, are you being faithful to God in your giving to God and honoring him in your financial giving to the Lord? So you'll notice a simple little diagram down below number 3. And right there, you have income on the left times, that's 10% equals the tithe, whatever that is. Now, what I want you to do is, again, some people have asked me, well, Father Joe, is that gross or net? It can be whatever you want it to be. I mean, I had a good priest mentor friend of mine who said, where do you want God to bless you, in the gross or the net? Now, and I'll be honest with you, my wife and I have always tithed from the net. That's what we do. And anything above and beyond that, we seek to give as an offering as well. And so I would invite you to do that. And what I want you to do is, again, I've asked you each week, take the sheet home with you. You might want to especially take the sheet home with you today if you do this exercise. Write out what your income is. Just put it there. And multiply it times 10%, what does that equal? That's your tithe. Now, that for a lot of people, when I lead them in that exercise and I watch their eyes, they just like go, they get moon saucers in their eyes. Because a lot of people have never, ever made that computation before. And a lot of people even resist making that computation because they don't want to see the number. And some of you might even know what the number is. But I just want to encourage you that I think one of the most important things you and I can do in our lives financially is seek to be faithful to the Lord. And what I'll share with you is a true story before I get to my close. See, I'm not taking very long on this, am I? I'm not gonna harbor on it. I can't tell you how many people that I've shared with in my ministry about this principle of tithing. I can't tell you how many people have come to me and said to me, you know what, Father Joe, we're really struggling financially. We've been struggling for a while, and we don't know what to do. And you know what I feel moved to tell them? As much as I have this conversation with God, God, I don't want to tell them this right now. I just really don't want to tell them. And God, you know how God can be persistent? God says, you're going to tell them this. Well, God, I really don't want to tell them this. You're going to tell them this. And so I tell them. And I said, you know what, I really believe the Lord is speaking to me. He's done this to with me with a number of other people in your situation. I want to encourage you to start tithing right now. And they, you know what, it's like, might as well shot them or something. You know what, this is the last thing I can do right now. You don't know my bills. You don't know how things are going for me right now. I don't even know where I'd find that 10%. I said, you know what, you need to start doing it right now and see what God will do on your behalf. And there has not been a person, honestly, that I know of, including my family and Jan and I in college when we started to tithe, and we couldn't rub two quarters together. We broke a Snickers bar in half for dessert. That's what we did. That's what we did for dessert. And that's when God spoke to us, I want you to start tithing. What? That was our response too. What? But you know what? We began to do it. And God blessed us in that in the most incredible ways. Again, we weren't giving to get. We were giving to honor the Lord in the tithe. And we began to experience over time an overflowing blessing. Did it happen all at one time? No. But I will say this, in my life and in the lives of the people that I've shared this with, when they were between a rock and a hard place financially, let me just put it this way. God loves just-in-time delivery. The moment when the check was due, the money came. The moment when you ran out of groceries and some groceries showed up on the front doorstep. The moment when something else was going to happen and you got a tax refund check you weren't even expecting. I can tell you story after story after story where that happened as people began to be faithful. Now, some of you really don't want financially. You're doing quite well. But I want to challenge you as well. Again, part of our theme this month has been legacy, the legacy of your life. And so my question to you and me is, what is the legacy of your life going to be financially? And let me just say, I realize that you want to take care of your family, and there are other charitable things you want to do. And I give thanks to God for that. I really do. You know what? I believe God has blessed you not to make you feel guilty. I believe God has blessed you to be a blessing. That's what I believe. And I thank God for each one of you that God has blessed abundantly in the material realm. But beloved, I need to say this to you as your priest. All of us are going to give an account one day with all of this. Believe me, you're going to be glad you're hearing from me now rather than hearing it from him at the judgment seat. You want to hear it now and consider what I'm saying. Be faithful to the Lord in your financial stewardship. Be faithful to him. Be faithful to the Lord. And so what I want you to do, again, is take this home with you. That's all I'm asking. Take this home with you. You can do the calculation later on, or maybe some of you have already done it. Pray for me as I pray for you, right? And then I want to invite you to ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? I realize some of you might be at 1%, might be at 2%. Maybe you kick it up to 5%. Maybe you're at 5%, maybe you move towards 7 or 8, or maybe you're at 8 and maybe you move to 10. I realize it's a journey at times, but I really want to encourage you along with me to get to that place of the tithe. And again, we don't give to get, but we give to honor the Lord. We give to be a blessing to him. And in closing, I want to share you a story, a true story, about a person who had a very different relationship with money than the guy in the Catholic hospital. Many years ago, a lad of 16 years left home to seek his fortune. All his worldly possessions were tied in a bundle, which he carried in his hand. As he trudged along, he met an old neighbor, the captain of a canal boat, and the following conversation took place, which changed the whole current of the boy's young life. "Well, William, where are you going?" "I don't know," he answered. "Father is too poor to keep me at home any longer and says I must now make a living by myself." "There's no trouble about that," said the captain. "Be sure you start right and you'll get along finely." William told his friend that the only trade he knew anything about was soap and candle making, which he had learned from his father while at home. "Well," said the old man, "let me pray with you once more and give you a little advice, and then I will let you go." They both knelt down upon the towpath. The dear old man prayed earnestly for William and then gave his advice. "Someone soon will be the leading soap maker in New York. It can be you as well as anyone. I hope it may be. Be a good man. Give your heart to Christ. Pay the Lord all that belongs to him of every dollar you earn. Make an honest soap. Give a full pound, and I am certain that you will be prosperous and a rich man." When the boy arrived in the city, he found it hard to get work. Lonesome and far from home, he remembered his mom's last words to him and the canal boat captain. He was then led to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and united with the church. He remembered his promise to the old captain, and the first dollar he earned brought up the question of the Lord's part. In the Bible, he found that the Jews were commanded to give one-tenth, so he said, "If the Lord will take one-tenth, I will give that." Having regular employment, he soon became a partner. After a few years, his partner died, and William became the sole owner of the business. He now resolved to keep his promise to the old captain. He made an honest soap, gave a full pound, and instructed his bookkeeper to open an account with the Lord and carry one-tenth of all of his income into that account. He prospered, his business grew, his family was blessed, his soap sold, and he grew far richer than he had ever hoped he could be. He then gave two-tenths and prospered more than ever. Then he gave three-tenths, then four-tenths, then five-tenths. He educated his family, settled all his plans for life, and gave all his income to the Lord's work. He prospered more than ever. This is the story of Colgate, who has given millions of dollars to the Lord's cause and left a name that will never die. What a testimony. What a story. What an example for me. What an example for you. What an example for the body of Christ. Beloved of God, I'm so grateful for your stewardship before the Lord. I'm so grateful that you are the beloved of God in the land at this moment. I'm so grateful to share this journey with you. Pray for me as I pray for you, that wherever we might be right now in the stewardship of our life, that like Colgate, we may grow ever more faithful to him in all that we say, in all that we do, in all that we give.